Christ is risen. Is that the best you can do? Christ is risen. Amen and hallelujah. I was sharing with Josh and Dervin in our prayer time before the service that this is a day and a message that I can become very Pentecostal. You know what that is? That's a combination of Mennonite and Pentecostal. Indeed, praise God for the privilege to celebrate Resurrection Sunday again. Actually, East Sunday morning is a celebration of the resurrection because it was after the resurrection when the early church began to meet on Sunday. I trust that each one of us have taken the time to pursue God, to read and meditate on the Passion Week scriptures that was so meaningfully read by Ty to us in the sunrise service this morning, as well as Brother Josh from the book of John. Praise God that Jesus arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and he's interceding at the right hand of the Father for us today, so that we can experience, after his cruel suffering and death on the cross, salvation, our sins being washed away, and that glorious living hope that we have as God's children, that someday we can spend eternity with him and experience the power of the resurrection in our daily walk of life, to be able to walk victoriously because of the power of the resurrection. I've titled my message this morning, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't really too hard to come up with that title, because that is how our text starts out in verse 1. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Revelations 1, 1 through 6. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So yes, verse 1 starts with the revelation of Jesus Christ, so that the book of Revelation is the unveiling or the disclosure of Jesus Christ and the many divine mysteries of the end time events. Yes, God the Father, it says, unveils or reveals through his Son Jesus Christ and his angels, first of all, some of the mysteries of who Jesus really is. Secondly, the process of his promised second coming. And thirdly, the events of the culmination of mankind and the world in judgment and in Christ Jesus' final, complete victory over all things and all people. This revelation is given by God the Father, who is the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-holy, the all-sovereign one, to his Son Jesus Christ, to disclose and make known to us as his children who are called his bondservants. So what is a bondservant? A bondservant is a slave that's bound in service without pay. Question. Are you and I truly serving Jesus Christ as our Master and Lord? Second question. Are we daily, faithfully surrendering our will and all to Him and truly seeking to know Him? Who is Jesus? Who is God? And to do His will for our lives. Also in verse 1, it says these things must shortly or soon or speedily or quickly come to pass in their entirety or completely. And then in verse 2, we read that John wrote down this revelation of Jesus Christ and the unveiling of the divine mysteries that he was shown and told about. So in verse 2, John testifies and can vouch for or confirm or certify or authenticate all that he saw in his visions and the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, personal experience and seeing is believing, right? Reminds me of 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, which says, I am writing about the word of life in him who existed from the beginning, when we have heard, when we have seen with our eyes, when we have gazed upon for ourselves, and whom we have touched with our own hands. Yes, personally hearing, seeing, and even personally touching with his hand should be proof enough to anyone, right? That what John is writing about here in this book of Revelation, he had seen and personally experienced. Then in verse 3, sorry about that. This week I got a cold, I think, from my son-in-law who was coughing and blowing his nose around me this week, earlier in the week, so I got someone to blame it for, at least, I guess. In verse 3, it says, blessed or happy to be envied in the Amplified is the person who reads it, the person who hears it, and the person who obeys it or keeps it, the truths that are written in God's Word, heeding them and applying them deep down in his eternal heart and soul. Yes, God's Word is true. Yes, it is a sure foundation, a solid rock, an anchor for us to build our eternal souls on. Question, what are we building our lives on, the solid rock or the sinking sand of our own selfish, fleshly desires and knowledge of this world? We all want the blessings that are promised to us here in verse 3. If we read and hear and apply and obey the truths of God's word. But the question is, are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to sacrifice, surrender our lives and our will and our ways to God and to walk in his word in obedience and truth? It's only then that we can experience this promised blessing and be happy and be envied of verse 3. Why is this so crucial? Because it says the time for them to be fulfilled or to come to pass is near. Now, in the past and today, there's always been scoffers or mockers that said, everything is happening just like it always has, right? As 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, knowing their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. One thing we can always say is that it is near. Every day we can say that it is near, because it's nearer than it was before, right? Excuse me. So God calls all of us to tune into and to focus on hearing Him speak to us as He reveals His will and ways for our lives, and as we draw close to His heart and obey His word. Indeed, we want to obey His word, so we are always ready for His return, with our lamps all trimmed and bright, for when our Savior, our Lord, our Bridegroom returns or calls us home. Now verse 4 speaks of God's grace and peace. Here John prays for the seven churches and all who read and hear his revelation letter, which includes us here today as we have read it. Yes, Revelation expresses the all-sufficient grace and the perfect peace that passes all understanding that God promises to us as His obedient children. I certainly find myself, personally, many times in need of His all-sufficient promised grace. When I face life's daily pressures, challenges, struggles, and spiritual battles in our fast-paced world today, I find that when I get under pressure and react negatively to life, excuse me, in my attitude or as someone, I then have to cry out to God for His cleansing, His wisdom, grace, and peace that He promises, so that I can, like Philippians 3:14 says, keep pressing on toward the prize, toward the goal and the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice also here in verse 4 where His grace and peace comes from. That's the eternal Godhead of the Father and the Son, who is, who was, and who is to come. Excuse me. From the perfect sevenfold Holy Spirit worshiping before the throne of God the Father. Now let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 has four descriptions of or revelations of Jesus Christ. First of all, it says He is the faithful or trustworthy witness of the eternal Godhead. Yes, Jesus in His ministry here on earth faithfully witnessed and revealed to us who God the Father is, what He is like, or His attributes, and what His plan is for all mankind. For example, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge through His Son Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, and be saved or restored back into relationship with Him as our Creator God. We can trust this revelation of God the Father by Jesus Christ as a faithful witness. He will not deceive us. Because Jesus, as God's only begotten Son, said, I and my Father are one. Jesus' witness of His Father God was so faithful and trustworthy that God voiced His approval at the baptism in Matthew 3:17 by saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And also at the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, this is my beloved Son, listen to Him. Question. Are you and I tuned in, listening to, and obeying God as He speaks to us from His Word, which is truth, each day as we spend our time alone with Him? Remember, He still speaks in that still small voice behind our ear. And that word reminds me of the testimony of Keith and Sherry, who last week lost their dear little one, 3 years old, when she fell over the falls in North Carolina at the park. Don and I had the privilege of taking pizza supper to them on Friday night. And we were so blessed and encouraged as they sat there and shared many miracles that happened that night and since then. For an hour and a half after his wife, he was ahead hiking when his wife screamed as she saw the little girl plunge down 400 feet in the falls below. Desperately, for an hour and a half, he ran up and down those steep, high, impossible rocks trying to find her Bible, her body. At the bottom of the falls, he heard a voice. He said the voice was so real that he turned his head to see who was speaking. And that voice said, "I am with you. Your daughter is my peace angel in heaven." Ever since then, they've had amazing peace. Yes, it's a very tragic and sad situation, but God spoke to him in a very real and powerful way. And many other testimonies of God speaking to them this last week. Pray for that family at the funeral, viewing and funeral tomorrow afternoon. Yes, we can hear Him as we sit with Him. He will answer our questions if we will just take the time and focus to listen and to obey Him. We will hear Him as we spend time in His Word, grasping what He is speaking to us on and just how He wants us to live out our lives to bring honor and glory and praise and worship to Him. Yes, Jesus so faithfully witnessed of or revealed God that when Philip asked John in John chapter 14, verse 8, to Jesus, "Show us the Father." Jesus replied, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. Yes, He also calls you and me to be faithful witnesses of Him." Gary Miller, at the recent Reach Ministers Conference session, general session, challenged us as Anabaptists to purposely use our gifting of hospitality and family's life as a witnessing tool. He shared this story of a memory of his parents who frequently invited their neighbors into their home for a supper meal. And he remembers specifically this one agnostic neighbor and his dad debating over and over about God, the reality of God, and the Bible truths, and so on. Some many years later, Gary met up with this man who by now was a believer. And Gary asked the man what it was that his dad said that convinced him as an agnostic to believe in and accept Christ as his personal Savior. You know what the man's response was? It wasn't what he said. It wasn't what he said. That doesn't mean we shouldn't say something. Or that his debating with him about God and its truth of God's word was in vain. But he said it was sitting around your family table, listening to your friendly chatter as a family. It was your dad taking the Bible out and having devotions with you as a family. It was the singing that you as a family did together. It was the joy and peace that your family portrayed that I longed for, that I sought after. It was that faithful witness of your family around the supper table with devotions and singing and prayer, sharing. That's what convinced me. That's what I longed for. That's what I wanted. Question. What are you and I portraying in our daily walk of life and relationships? I found this a very powerful challenge to even use our hospitality gifts and family devotional times to be a faithful witness and to reveal Jesus to our lost family members, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and people we meet in our daily walk of life. In John chapter 18, verse 37, when Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king, he answered, "For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." So even Jesus testified that his purpose in being born into the world was to be a witness of the truth, or a revealer of God himself, who is the eternal truth. I take it the reason that you don't have a larger glass here with water in is that when the glass gets all, the preacher's supposed to stop. Is that right? We'll try that this morning and see if it works, okay? As parents, our first responsibility is to be a faithful witness to our family and to involve them in being a witness to others, just as Gary Miller's testimony challenged us to be. I know I have a brother-in-law who has 11 children, and he made it a priority and a focus and a plan that he took his boys, he took off of work and took his boys with him for a week to volunteer for CAM Disaster Service every year, as long as I can remember. He took his boys, he took off of work, and took his boys down and worked together in disaster service. Let's be a witness with our children, with our family. Question, are you and I fulfilling that purpose that God placed on our life? Are we being a faithful witness to the truth of who God is, just like Jesus was? Are we being a shining light and a revealing Jesus, first of all, to our children, the extended family, our church, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and those we meet? So the first of the four descriptions of Jesus Christ in verse 5 was he was a faithful and trustworthy witness in revealing God to mankind. Secondly, the second description of Jesus in verse 5 is the firstborn from the dead. So yes, Jesus was the firstborn, first person to be resurrected to never die again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." In other words, his resurrection was the first installment of God's promise of eternal life to all who believe, confess, repent, and accept Christ as their personal Savior and walk faithfully with Him in the truth, obedient to His Word. Yes, Christ's resurrection precipitated and thus guarantees that all of us who die in Christ Jesus will also be resurrected someday and spend eternity with Jesus, our Savior, Master, and Lord. In John 14, 19, Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live also." Praise God, what a glorious living hope we have as we faithfully walk with God. Christ's resurrection from the dead sets Christianity apart. There's no other religion in the world that has a leader who was resurrected to live forevermore, who intercedes in their behalf, who gave that perfect sacrifice of His life's blood to wash away their sin. Yes, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, because He was a resurrection. Excuse me. Because He was resurrected and lives eternally. Hallelujah. Amen. In case you wondered, that was one of my Pentecostal moments, okay? I'm getting close here. Yes, Jesus was exalted to the right hand of the Father. In Philippians 2, 8 through 11 says, Jesus was exalted because He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. Therefore it was His humble obedience that exalted Him, and also that kind of humble obedience that will someday resurrect us as His obedient children into God's glorious kingdom. As the hymn says, thank you. He got the hint pretty good. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen? The third way that Jesus Christ is described in verse 5 is the ruler over the kings of the earth. Yes, He is sovereign ruler over all. Even today's Russian President Vladimir Putin. Indeed, there are so many uncertainties in our world today with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, with China's threat to Taiwan, with Iran and North Korea's development of nuclear weapons, and the far-left Democrats ruling in Washington, D.C. I didn't ask whether you can talk politics over your pulpit or not, Josh, but rest assured, I'm not going to say any more. Okay? Some predict World War III could begin any day, so to many it can feel like the end of the world is upon us, and we can become fearful. However, the truth that Jesus Christ is ruler over the kings of the earth reminds and assures us of who really is in charge. Yes, Jesus Christ is the one in control over all mankind, even the kings of the earth. By Him, man's power is limited. By Him, man's counsels can be overruled. To Him, everyone, including the kings of the earth, are accountable. And He sovereignly rules over all earthly might and power. Yes, we can put our complete faith and trust in Him and rest assured, as He has promised, that He will be with us to the end of the world, as we are His faithful witnesses. Remember, that promise to be with us forever is at the end of the Great Commission. So if we don't go ye therefore and preach and teach and baptize, why can we claim the promise that He is with us forever? We need to keep our end of the bargain, right? Our covenant with God. To him, everyone, including the kings of the earth, are accountable, and he sovereignly rules over all. Yes, we can put our complete faith and trust in him, and rest assured, as he has promised, that he will be with us to the end. The fourth and final description of Jesus Christ in verse 5 is that he loved us and washed us from our sins through his cruel death on the cross. As the song says, oh, such wonderful, wonderful love. Jesus, my Savior, left scepter and throne to rescue a sinner like me. Oh, such wonderful, wonderful love. Yes, Jesus loved us so much that as Luke 22:44 says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And yet he willingly surrendered to the Father and prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. Secondly, Jesus is described here as the one who washed us from our sins in his own life's blood. As the song says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So praise God for his great redemption plan, that whosoever will may come to him and have his sins washed away. Yes, only as we surrender our all, confess our selfishness and sins to Jesus, and repent or make a complete turnaround and obediently follow him, can our sins be washed away by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The perfect sacrifice, died once for all. Then and only then can we experience the power of the resurrection and be sanctified and made fit for our Master's use. So these four descriptions of Christ in verse 5 unveil and reveal the truth about who Jesus is. You notice he filled the cup clear back full. I'm surprised he didn't just put a little bit in the bottom, because I sort of threatened to preach until the glass is all gone. Did you realize what you just did? Oh, okay. He's shaking his head yes, so I've got permission to keep going. Now in verse 6 yet, the Amplified said, he forms us into a kingdom and royal priesthood to God the Father to help build his kingdom. This reminds me of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. In the Amplified says, ye are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people. Why? That you, yes, each one of us, may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Jesus, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Yes, Christ is preeminent as the firstborn from the dead, and we can also look forward to partaking in his resurrection. Hallelujah! As we allow Christ to occupy the first or chief place in our hearts and lives. Question: does Jesus have preeminence? Does Jesus have first place in my heart, in my life? Can men tell that we've been with Jesus? Can they buy our lives and lips and lives? Can they tell? We serve a resurrected Jesus that loved us, that washed away our sins, the good news of the gospel. God's great love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God, we can experience His resurrection power to be that faithful witness for Him and His kingdom building in these last days. May we all this morning, Josh prayed in his prayer, that we would not leave this church service this morning without being changed. Have you been changed this morning? As we read and shared on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who Jesus is. He's my Savior. He loved me. He died for me. He rose for me. He's interceding at the right hand of the Father for me. And someday He's going to resurrect my body. And I will be able to join Him in that eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To Him be honor and glory and praise and worship and thanksgiving. As the Amplified says in verse 6. To Him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray.